Good morning. And welcome. We're glad to have you here worshiping the Lord with us today. Stuart has some announcements for us.
Morning, everybody. I'd like to thank the people that have donated for our water donations. You can make a check out to the church and put on their water in the memo, and Norma writes a check for us, and then we go out and buy lots of water to donate to the food banks. Silver Sneakers is going to be, we have a sign-up sheet back in the back. They're going to be here Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. This will start up on August 5th, so if you want to participate, sign up. Spire deadline is tomorrow. So if you have anything that you want in the Spire and you want everybody to know something, then get hold of Sandy or Beth. Debbie Tripp is still having her summer seeking in the fireside room. That is on Mondays and Thursdays. Everybody is invited. You do not have to go to both. If you want to go attend just one, that's fine, as long as you show up. Yes?
If you only want to come to one, it's just Thursday. Monday's just a practice. Thursday is the content.
Okay. Thursdays is the one that they would like for you to come to, and Mondays is optional.
Thanks, Stuart.
I don't think that's been determined yet.
9 o'clock.
Oh, okay. There you go. 9 o'clock. Those of you who get email know that we'd send out a blast to see if somebody had a home they could open up for Hazel with her house flooded, and had several people respond. We think we're getting her set up to move into Bob Sitsema's home for a couple months. So I think we're going to get that taken care of this afternoon. So just wanted to update you on that, and we'll be keeping Hazel in our prayers. Hazel's had some flooding issues, some plumbing flooding issues at 99 years of age. That's a tough thing. She's been living with her daughter in Phoenix, but on the second floor, and she just wanted to get back closer to the church, closer to her bridge groups, and so we think that's going to be working out. Just wanted to let you know about that. Proverbs 3, 5 through 6 tells us, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not rely on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths." By being in worship on Sunday morning, setting aside that time, you are taking a step toward trusting in the Lord with all your trusting the Lord with all your heart, and not relying on just your own understanding. You're taking a step towards doing the things that will set straight the week that is ahead of you. So as you prepare your heart for worship this morning, take a moment just to set your heart upon the Lord, to seek him with all your heart. Please do so, and let's sing together, "To God Be the Glory."
Thank you.
Please join me in the reading of the Declaration of Praise. How great is the love the Father has lavished on us,
that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are.
For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption.
And by him we cry, Abba, Father.
The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children.
Now if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we also may be seated. Now please join me in the reading of the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Let's continue in prayer. Loving God, we thank you that yours is the kingdom. And we pray that you might be at work in us, that your kingdom might be furthered here on earth. We thank you that yours is the kingdom and the glory. And we thank you that in you we find the things that truly lead to joy, to peace, to a sense of fulfillment and completion and glory in life. And we thank you that yours is the kingdom and the glory and the power. And we come to you, Lord, because we need your power. There are situations before us that we need more strength than we have on our own. We need more stamina, more endurance, more perseverance, more wisdom. A whole lot of things that come from you and seem to be in short supply in us. So we pray for more of your power in our lives. And along that line, we pray for some specific needs, people that we care about in this church family. We pray for Hazel Bacon. Pray that everything work out okay for her to get moved closer again to the church while her repairs are being made. Watch over Hazel and watch over her family. We pray for Beverly Brooks. Thank you that got word that the device in her back has begun to work relief of pain, at least to some extent. And we pray that that will continue to work and you continue to relieve that pain for Beverly. We pray for Don Smith as he goes through kind of like chemo treatments. Watch over him and Janice while they're back east for a while. Pray for Dora Stainbrook. Pray that you give to her each day the strength that she needs for the day, relief from pain. Pray for him and Bunny Geisbert, that you'd surround them with your love. Pray for Greg Wilson as he battles cancer. Pray for Bob Cummings. Thank you. The vertigo is doing better. Watch over him. And we pray for the people and ministries of St. Joachim and St. Anne Catholic Church. We pray for the work of the Justice Center in caring for older people who are homeless. And Lord, we lift up some other concerns as well. I heard about the increasing Ebola plague in the Congo, and We pray for relief from that that plague. Pray for protection for people, and especially for those who are ministering there and working and caring for people who are sick. We pray for heat all across our nation and the difficulties that is. We get used to that here, especially when air conditioning is working again, so thanks for that. But pray for people all across the country who are going through a lot of heat this week. Help those people out. And Lord, I pray for us as a nation, that you would increase within us a sense of compassion, care, a willingness to listen to each other, a willingness for us all to come together and to work toward what is good, to work with a common sense of purpose together as a nation. We lift up all of these prayers, cast them into your caring hands. In Jesus' name, amen. Again, we have trusted the Lord with our prayers. Let us trust God as well with our tithes and our offerings. God, thank you for these gifts that were given out of trust in you, faithfulness to you. And I pray that you would take these gifts and use them to your glory. But even more so, Lord, I pray that you would take us givers and use us to your glory, not just in what we put into an offering plate, but in how we live our lives this day and this week. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. What a delight that offertory was. Thank you very much for that, Virginia. This morning, I have the treat of hearing somebody I've never heard before. Dan has sung each summer for you for a number of years now, so many of you have heard him before, but a friend of Vonda's, and we're real thankful for Dan coming and sharing this music with us.
Thank you. Prayer. children, they shade on lover's lane, shelter the tired and the weary, bidding them hope again. Man, turn the fields and the forest into a battlefield grim. Man took a tree, an innocent tree, and made a cross for him. I heard a forest praying. I heard the heavens weep. Just as the dawn was graying and night went home to
That was very nice. Thank you. Today's reading is from the book of Psalms, chapter 31, verses 19 through 24. Oh, how abundant is your goodness that you have laid up for those who fear you and accomplished for those who take refuge in the sight of everyone. In the shelter of your presence, you hide them from human plots. You hold them safe under your shelter from contentious tongues. Blessed be the Lord, for he has wondrously shown his steadfast love to me when I was beset as a city under siege. I said in my alarm, I am driven afar from your sight, but you heard my supplications when I cried out to you for help. Love the Lord, all you his saints. The Lord preserves the faithful, but abundantly repays the one who acts haughtily. Be strong and let your heart take courage, all you who wait for the Lord. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. Almighty God, in you are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Open our eyes that we may see the wonders of your word, and give us grace that we may clearly understand and freely choose the way of your wisdom. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. Now let us remain seated and sing our hymn, I Sing the Mighty Power of God.
Thank you.
walking our way slowly through the Sermon on the Mount, and today we are partway into chapter 7, and we are going to look at verse 7 through verse 12. So I invite you to open up a Bible and take a look at this with me. This is what Jesus says. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks, receives. The one who seeks, finds. And to anyone who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you, if your child asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? So in everything, do to others as you would have them do to you. For this sums up the law and the prophets. This is the word of the Lord. The way we picture God has a strong impact upon the way we relate to God and on other aspects of our faith. David pictured God as his shepherd. That helped him to understand God as one who watched out for him, protected him, and cared for him. Moses in Deuteronomy 32:4 pictured God as his rock. That helped Moses to know that God was a solid foundation that he could stand upon, a rock that he could lean upon. When you think of God's attitude toward you, do you picture God with clenched fists? Or do you picture God with open hands? If you perceive God as tight-fisted, why would you bother to pray? Why would you waste any time in waiting for an answer for prayer from a tight-fisted deity? Why would you expect a clinging, selfish God to give open-heartedly to you? How do you picture God's attitude toward you? When we explore evidence from nature and from Scripture, we find evidence not of a tight-fisted, clinging God, but a God of incredible generosity. Clarence Rempel remarks, God lavished beauty, complexity, and grandeur in creating the world. Consider flowers. Did you know there are 600 varieties of asters and 25,000 varieties of orchids? Those are just two of 270,000 species of flowers. Why so many? What extravagance, what lavish, overwhelming beauty. God of the open hand has poured out his blessing in creation. Jill Foley Turner adds, we know that the whole of creation declares the glory of God, Psalm 19:1. But it also demonstrates his generosity. Our Creator perfectly crafted a world which sustains our human lives. But God did not stop at life and breath and sustainability. Beyond our survival, the Bible says he considers our delight, 1 Timothy 6:17. He made seas and mountains and rivers. He made 750,000 species of insects, 400,000 species of flowers, 200,000 species of edible plants, 10,000 species of birds, and stars too numerous to count. Every good thing a person enjoys in life is a gift from God, James 1:17. God created our universe with perfect elegance and complexity. He designed with superfluous creativity. Then he gives us senses of sight and sound and touch and taste so we could experience the richness of these gifts. The provider of our needs is also our source of never-ending pleasure. Psalm 16, verse 11. Nature affirms the generosity of God. And Scripture affirms that as well. Psalm 145, verse 16 proclaims, "You open your hand and satisfy the desires of every living thing." Yet Scripture's affirmation of the generosity of God goes further and deeper. In the book, When God Weeps, Why Our Sufferings Matter to the Almighty, Stephen Estes and Johnny Erickson Tada share, God, like a father, doesn't just give advice. He gives himself. He becomes the husband to the grieving widow, Isaiah 54:5. He becomes the comforter to the barren woman, Isaiah 54:1. He becomes the father of the orphaned, Psalm 10:14. He becomes the bridegroom to the single person, Isaiah 62:5. He's the healer to the sick, Exodus 15:26. He is the wonderful counselor to the confused and depressed, Isaiah 9:6. This is what you do when someone you love is in anguish. You respond to the plea of the heart by giving them your heart. If you are the one at the center of the universe, holding it together, if everything moves, breathes, and has its being in you, you can do no more than give yourself. It is the generosity of God that we find in Matthew 7, verses 9 through 11. Which of you, if your child asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? You are God's dearly loved child. He knows you intimately, and he pours out his love to you incredibly generously. Scripture tells us that God knows the number of hairs on your head, Matthew 10:30, the thoughts you think, Psalm 139, verse 2, when you get up and when you lie down, Psalm 139, verses 2 to 3, the words you will speak even before they come forth from your lips, Psalm 139, verse 4, your very frame and your inmost being, Psalm 139, verses 13 to 15, all the days of your life, Psalm 139, verse 16, all your sorrows, Isaiah 53:4, every tear you have ever cried, Psalm 56, verse 8, and the groans of your heart when you don't even know how to put those into words, Romans 8, 26, and 27. God knows you intimately, and God pours out his love to you generously. No matter how difficult the situations in our lives may be, we can be certain that God will never stop pouring out his love on us. because love is the unchangeable character of God. In his book, Prayer, What Difference Does It Make?, Philip Yancey comments on this. He says, the revivalist Charles Finney grounded his belief in the power of prayer in God's unchanging character. Quote, if you ask why he ever answers prayer at all, the answer must be because he is unchangeable, unquote. To give an example, a God bound by unchanging qualities of love and mercy must forgive a sinner who prays repentantly. God changes course in response to the sinner's change in course and does so because of those eternal qualities. The contemporary theologian Clark Pinnock follows a similar line of logic. Since God's nature is unchanging, since God's nature never changes, God's experience must change. Pinnock contrasts two models of God's sovereignty. We can picture God as an aloof monarch, removed from the details of the world, or we can picture God as a caring parent with traits of love, generosity, and sensitivity. An infinite being who personally interacts with and responds to creation. Accordingly, God considers prayers much as a wise parent considers request from a child. That's what Jesus shares with us there in Matthew. He loves us as his children and pours out his love on us generously. Out of his unchanging character, his unceasing love. No wonder Jesus tells us in verses 7 and 8, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who seeks, receives. Everyone who asks, receives. The one who seeks, finds. And to everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. The assurance of Scripture is that God never stops pouring out his love on his beloved children. This does not happen, though, in a fairy tale, happily ever after kind of a way. Kate Baller, an assistant professor of theology at Duke Divinity School, has experienced this in her own life. At 35 years of age, when her son was just 1 year old, Baller was diagnosed with stage 4 cancer. Despite her surgery, her cancer is considered incurable. Every 2 months, her doctors decide whether she can continue to receive the treatment they are giving to her. She says that she lives her life now in 2 month increments. In the preface to her book, Everything Happens for a Reason and Other Lies I've Loved, she describes what went through her mind when she found out about her cancer. She writes, one moment I was a regular person with regular problems, and the next I was someone with cancer. Before my mind could apprehend it, it was there, swelling up, taking up every space my imagination could touch, a new and unwanted reality. There was a before, and now there was an after. Time slowed to a pulse. Am I breathing? I wondered. Do I want to? Every day I prayed the same prayer. God, save me. Save me. Save me. Oh God, remember my baby boy. Remember my son and my husband before you return me to ashes, before they walk this earth alone. I plead with a God of maybe, who may or may not let me collect more years. It is a God I love and a God that breaks my heart. The struggles that Kate Baller is facing are real and daunting. Her life is no happily ever after matter. But she goes on in the book to share this. At a time When I should have felt abandoned by God, I was not reduced to ashes. I felt like I was floating, floating on the love and prayers of all those who hummed around me like worker bees, bringing notes and flowers and warm socks and quilts embroidered with words of encouragement. They came in like priests and mirrored back to me the face of Jesus. When they sat beside me, my hand in their hands, my own suffering began to feel like it had revealed to me the suffering of others, a world of those who, like me, are stumbling in the debris they thought they were entitled to and plans they didn't realize they had made. In the midst of her cancer, in the midst of the uncertainties of her life, even when she should have, as she said, felt abandoned by God, God never stopped pouring out his love to her. Much of the way that he did it was through other people. No wonder Jesus goes on in this passage to get to verse 12. So in everything, do to others as you would have them do to you. For this sums up the law and the prophets. God is amazingly generous to us because he sees us as his dearly loved children. He never stops pouring out his love on his beloved children. And he calls us to be part of the way in which he pours out his love to others. Dr. Henry Cloud and Dr. John Townsend describe Christians as, quote, part of God's grace distribution system. And that's a wonderful title for a Christian. We are part of God's great distribution, grace distribution system. It's what Kate Bowler experienced. It's what others around us need as well. An anonymous poet put it this way: yours are the hands of God. How did you use them today? Did they crush or caress? Did they ruin or bless? How did you use them today? Yours are the hands of God, the hands that he lent you to use. Did they reach out in greed or to meet someone's need? Did you use them to heal or abuse? Yours are the hands of God. Use them well as you travel life's way. Turn with love to each task, for one day God will ask, what did you do with my hands today? Do unto others as you would have them do to you, for this sums up the law and the prophets. Let's pray. Lord God, we do not live in a fairy tale, happily ever after kind of world. We live in a world that is fallen and broken, in which there is pain and misery and suffering. And all of us encounter that at one point or another, in one way or another. But in the midst of it, we need to know that there is a Heavenly Father who pours out his love to us without stopping, because that love is part of your unchanging character. Remind us over and over again that you are the shepherd who cares for us, the rock that we can stand upon, the Father who pours out your love on your beloved children. And Lord, help us to be part of that grace distribution system as we bring your care to others that whom we encounter during the day and during the week. Help us, Lord. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand and sing together, Seek Ye First. If your child asks for bread, we'll give him a stone. Or asks for fish, we'll give him a snake. If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? So in everything, do to others as you would have them do to you. For this sums up the law and the prophets. May all God's people say, Amen. Amen. We invite you to stick around for some refreshments. Sorry, Virginia.